Seth is going to come and talk to us about Clemente, who's the pastor down there. Melody is going to talk to us a little bit about that hospital ministry, and then Liz is going to come and speak to us about an individual. Yeah. So you guys can just come in that order. I'm not going to introduce you. You just come up when it's your turn. So Jack, John, Seth, Melody, and then Liz.
Hi. I'm going to talk about the kids ministry, which I was helping with. So I guess every day we got there just after lunch-ish, and then we go out and invite the kids that were just on the street or go to their houses and whatever, see them in the stores and just invite them. So they would arrive at like 2 o'clock, and then we would just get to play with them and do whatever. Even though we couldn't really talk to them, we would just play with them. And the first day that we were in Tijuana, there was the first kids that came, I went and I was like, hey, do you guys want to go and color with some chalk? And then my translator was like, hey, do you guys want to come color with some chalk in Spanish? So then we went outside and we were coloring. And one thing that someone told me that I should say to them is, ¿cómo se dice? And then hold something in Espanol, which is, how do you say in Spanish? So then I picked up this purple Crayola chalk. And I was like, ¿cómo se dice en español? And then the boy was like, Crayola. And I was like, oh, ¿cómo se dice purple en español? And he's like, oh, morado. And then I tried to say it, and he laughed at me like 7 times until I could kind of get it right. And then we would go and like play Pato Pato Ganso with him for like with everyone. So we were like a group. Oh, yeah, duck is. Or tag or something else that was like everyone could be involved. And after that, we would do some songs. And one of the days, Seth was leading some songs, and he decided we should do all the songs in the book. So we were just going through, and it was okay, until we got to a song that none of us really knew as well. And so, like, we got to the first verse, it was okay. Then we got to, like, the second verse, and this is Jesus Loves Little Children. And then Seth was like, oh, he just, like, took over, but just with 3 words, unos, dos, tres. And so just started singing, Jesus, unos, dos, tres. And then we just all started laughing because, like, what doesn't even make sense. But it was okay. We got to the end of the song, and it worked. We also did verses with the kids, so usually that involved us just blowing up a bunch of balloons and then writing the words on them. And then we'd say the verse all together, and then we'd pop a balloon and then say the verse all together and then pop another balloon until all the balloons were gone. And by that point, usually they had memorized the whole verse, which was really nice and helped us maybe memorize it, maybe. After that, we did a story, which we would try to make interactive in a way. Sometimes the kids came and helped, or sometimes we helped, which I guess was more engaging for them. And then we would tie, I guess, Christ into the stories we tell. Like if it was maybe about Ruth, then we talk about God's faithfulness or whatever. And give them the opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior. After that, we would just go do a craft and just get to sit with the kids and be with them while they're doing these crafts and help them color their pictures because their wrists are too tired. And then after they were done their craft, we would just go play with them again, which was super great. One of the days, there's these girls that came, and they were just on the street, and we invited them, so they all just came in. And then, you know, they were just wearing what normal clothes that they were wearing. But then the next day when they came, they went and they wore the prettiest princess dresses ever because they were just so excited to get to be with us again. And they just felt like they should be beautiful. And then when they were leaving, they were like the last kids to leave. And then there was, I guess, these sketchy looking guys down the road. So Jillian was like, I feel like we should walk them home. So then we went and we walked them home, which was like kind of a little bit far away, but it was okay. And then we were like, oh, we just wanted to walk you home just to make sure you were safe. And they're like, oh, okay, thank you, or gracias. And then we came back to church. But then the next day when they came, they're like, thanks so much for walking us home. Like, that meant a lot to us, but not in English. And I feel like something that we learned a lot was that it's really important to enthusiastically show God's love even when it's hard and out of the way, because it makes a difference in these kids' lives. And yeah.
So I was helping with the sports ministry that we did in Mexico. So we did, like, in two places. We did some in Rosarito and in Tijuana. The stuff in Rosarito was a little less sports because we only had one kid come. So it was, yeah, we didn't really do too much with sports there. So in Tijuana, though, we had, like, because the soccer field is, like, kind of in the middle of a big, busy street. So when you start playing soccer, the kids are like, oh, a bunch of white guys playing soccer, let's go beat them. But turns out we were actually pretty good. We destroyed some kids. Yeah, some 11-year-old kids. It's pretty great. So every day we'd also do like a little, like, so we'd have like a water break, and then we'd do like a little story. One of the days, one of the ladies brought some pop and chips for the kids. Those kids just devoured that pop and chips like it was the first thing they've ever seen food. It was insane. So that they kept still the whole time, which was nice. Yeah, I don't know. It was a pretty easy ministry, I think, the sports, because you just play. You can't really talk to the kids. When they don't know your name either, so they just call you what you look like. So they called Jonah Flacco, which means skinny, which is I thought was pretty funny. And one day we also played, there was like a bunch of older people there. They were probably like, 16 or older, something like that. But they were all really good. And they were like, oh, we'll do Mexico versus America, because they didn't know we were from Canada. But so we played, and that time we were destroyed. It was like a 4-1 game or something. But I think we did pretty good, considering they play a lot more often than we do. A lot of the kids that we played soccer with were already from the church. So it was like we saw them later in the evening as well, during the evening service at the church. But not many kids that were just at the field came up later, which is always too bad, but I think we made a difference in their lives, and some kids, you know, will remember this forever. But yeah, that's all I got to share.
Okay, so I'm Seth, the Unos Dos Tres guy. So, I'm supposed to talk about Clemente, who was, like, my best friend down in Mexico, and, I don't know, I really liked him, and he really liked me, and we talked a lot about numerous different stuff, but I'm supposed to, like, tell stories about him. So, one day when we were in Rosarito, he gave us all bananas for, like, treats, and we're like, okay, so like we went back and didn't eat them. And then the next day we came, like the next time we were in Rosarito, we came back and Sarah, I don't know if she's here, but she came and we're like, oh, Clemente, we should show like his banana trees. And they were like, I don't know, 20 feet tall probably. So they're like these huge banana trees. And we're like, oh, we should eat them. So then, like, he brought out these really, really ripe bananas that were like had more black on them than yellow. So then he was like, oh, I'll give you these ones. So he told me to hold them. So I like held them from the bottom, and he didn't have a knife, so he was just twisting them off. And like when he was twisting them, juice was just going through my hands. And I was like, man, these things are going to taste gross. So then he gave one to me, Johnny, Jonah, and Sarah. And he gave Sarah like this little tiny banana. But then me and Johnny were like, oh, whatever, we're just going to down this thing. So we like ate it real quick without him looking, then just like threw the banana on the ground. And then Jonah couldn't eat it. He was just like sitting there, take the banana to his mouth, and then he'd start gagging and couldn't eat it. So then Clemente was like, okay, if you're not going to eat it, I'll feed it to you. So he just like undid the banana, and then he's like told me to hold his arms. So I like started holding his arms, and then he was like, you eat this banana. And then he's just like starts taking the banana and putting it closer and closer and closer to his mouth, and like had it to the point where it was right against his lips. And then Jonah just like took a little bite, and then Clemente was like happy that he took a bite, but Jonah like started gagging and spat it out on the ground after that. But then Jonah was like, okay, I can't have no more. So then Clemente ate it in like two bites. And then Sarah, me and Johnny were like, oh, Sarah only had this little one, so she better have like one of these big ones. So then he like rips off this big banana, and then she takes a bite, and then Clemente's like, and like kind of like encouraging her to eat more. But then she couldn't. So then Jonah's like, I'm getting out here. And then right when he went out of the door, Clemente grabbed him and was like, you have to help her. So then, like, he tried to get him to take another bite out of this banana, but Jonah just wouldn't. So then Clemente probably ate two or three of our bananas that one day. Okay, another story was, I don't know, I had a picture of me when I was laying down on those chairs and that guy was beside me, but then I was sick, so I think I threw up probably, I don't know, 10 times maybe that day. And then Liz asked me before we went to the church, she was like, do you want to come? And I was like, sure, I'll just come to like hang out with Clemente and these older guys. So then we went there, and it was the last day. It was Saturday. So then the girls were doing this lady ministry. So then I was hanging out with this older guy. I think he was 13. And we were just, like, making bracelets and kind of having fun. And then my stomach was, like, feeling terrible, but I was just not going to throw up at the church. So then the day went by and I didn't throw up, so I was kind of happy. And then there was like a church service in the evening. So then we were like supposed to stand up, and like this, the pastor that was there, that was like, he was really funny, where he'd like start screaming his head off the words, and then he'd start like jumping up and down and kind of dancing around the start of the stage. So then like we're all kind of laughing, but then I just couldn't stand up no more, so I had to sit down. I think Clemente seen me sitting down, so then he came to me and he was like, I'll fix your stomach. So I was like, okay. So he comes back with this drink that was mixed with baking soda and ginger ale. So then he gives it to me, and it was like all bubbly and foamy, so I like just drink it. And the start tasted all right, and then I got to the bottom, and it tasted like crap. And then all the bubbles foamed. Like, I gave him the cup, and there's still bubbles in there. And he came back, and he was like, you have to drink it all. So then all the bubbles just dissolved, and he put a little bit of water in there. So I drank it, and it was just like all pure salt. So it was terrible. And then, like, it helped for, like, 10 minutes. And then I could feel, like, my stomach coming back. So I sat down again. So he was like, did that help? I was like, yeah, for a little bit. And he was like, okay, I'll fix you for sure. So then he comes back with this, I don't know, tangerine stuff and cornstarch. And he was like, it was filled with ice cubes, and he was like, you have to drink this. So I like take a sip, and I like just about puked then, and I was like, I can't drink this. And I hand the drink to Johnny. I was like, Johnny, you take a sip of this. So he took a sip, and Johnny was like just about throwing up too. And Clemente, like, he was the guy who would just stand there and keep on saying what he had to say till you did it. So I was like, okay, whatever. I just drank it all, and it was absolutely disgusting, worse than the first one, but it actually worked, so it's kind of cool. I don't know. We just had a really tight bond, and one day he seen Rebecca's ukulele, and we were during the middle of this church service, and he just went up on stage, and his daughter was in the back on the chairs, and they're praying, and I don't know if he didn't notice that they were praying, but he just picked it up and started like playing it, and we were like, Clemente, like, be quiet. And then Priscilla talked to him like in Spanish to tell him that you can't play that right now. So then the next day we went back to Rosarito, and he had a ukulele. He went and bought one. So then we all, like, he had to play. He bought, like, a left-handed one because he chopped his finger off when he was 8 years old. So then he had to play with his left hand because that's when he chopped it off. And then, so then we tried to, like, teach him how to play the ukulele, but we couldn't. But then, okay, this is like my last story, but it's not involved with Clemente, but my mom wanted me to share it. So then we went to the market, and we were all like finished, and we were all out on the sidewalk, and I was sitting there, and we were talking to this Mexican guy, and he like knew some English, but he didn't know all of it. And I was sitting there kind of just like, we were all paying attention to him. And he comes up to me and he's like, how do you say this word in Spanish? And I was like, I don't know. And then he was like, no, like, how do you say that? And because he thought I was our translator because he thought I was Mexican. So then he was just like trying to ask me to say this word. But then I was like, no, that's our translator over there. I'm not a translator.
Yeah. Hello. So I'm going to be talking about the hospital ministry that we did. So all through the week we were doing children's ministry, but on Saturday there was a different option for whoever wanted to, because some had to stay back to do with the kids and some had to do ladies' ministry. So there was only a little group that was able to go to the hospital ministry, and I was one of those people that was able to go to the hospital ministry. So I'm going to share what happened there. So it was at a hospital in Tijuana, Mexico. And so we went down with some people from this one church that we were helping out with, and they had prepared a whole bunch of food, like Mexican rice and refried beans and everything for them. And so they were going to feed them, because there's a lot of homeless people that hang out around that area. There was probably 30 or 40 people that we saw right where we were, and like there's more around. And so we had an opportunity to talk to these people and to get to know them and to share the gospel with them. So they took like this speaker and this microphone, and this one guy, he's just talking in Spanish to everyone, and he's telling them the story of the prodigal son, and he's just sharing Christ with him while everyone's waiting in line to get their food, because they're all eager to have their food because lots of them actually haven't eaten for a while. And so after that, we were able to just sit down with people and talk to them. And it was really cool because these people, lots of them knew a lot of English, so you didn't have to have a translator right beside you the whole time, like translating for you, which was nice because then you could just go up to them and you could have a conversation with them yourself, not worrying about it. And so I sat down beside this older guy and this middle-aged woman for a while and just talked to them And they were very curious about my life. They wanted to know, like, where I was from and how long I was going to stay there. And I was telling them that I was leaving soon because we were leaving the next day. And they seemed really sad that I was leaving, and they had just met me. And they just were telling me how much I think they just felt like God's love just in the small act of just us serving food and being there and talking with them. And it was really cool because they were just so open with us. Like, they would share, like, really personal things about themselves right away. They weren't, like, really guarded and secretive, and you didn't have to, like, work up to, like, okay, what happened in your life? They would just share it. So they were just really easy to talk to, really friendly, and it was just really nice. And I didn't feel, like, uncomfortable. I felt really good, and the time went by really fast there. So it was really cool to see that. And I think that it was really encouraging to see that because I know sometimes it's hard to speak with people here, like wherever they are, because I know a lot of people in Canada, they don't just go up to you and they don't just like share personal things about their life really easily with you. But these people did. And so it was really easy to establish bonds with them, which was really cool. And it was easier to share Christ with them in that way because you felt like they were more open to hearing it. And so I thought that that was really good preparation for sharing Christ here. That was really cool because I know sometimes we're all scared to, you know, tell our friends and our family and other people that don't know God about him, but we're always scared about how they're going to react. But I think seeing how those people reacted and how they were okay with it, I think it just inspired and encouraged me to, like, keep sharing with people here, because there's people here like there is there that are going to be open to hearing about it. And we need to share it with those people because it's going to change their lives. And I think that was just good practice because for the people that were easier to talk to, it just works us up to talking next to the more difficult people or the harder people that aren't ready to hear it yet. So I think that was a really good evangelizing experience. And I know that people are saying we could really see Jesus in you guys, because we just gave them food and talked to them, and it was just a simple thing, but to them they were just so grateful for it, and it was such a big thing to them. Like, this is a small thing, and I don't think we realize sometimes how simple of an act can show so much love. So, like, even when we're here, we don't have to do anything elaborate to love others. We can just do simple things to show them love, and it makes all the difference. And so I thought that was a really cool reminder. And, some of them had come from really hard and rough backgrounds, like drugs and living on the streets and having health difficulties and a whole bunch of other things. And I know my cousin, who's not here today but that also came on the missions trip, was talking with this one guy for a while. And he had come from a rough past, and his brother was like a minister or something, but he didn't have God in his life. And he had been into drugs and into rough things, and it was difficult, but he was having a really good conversation. And he accepted Christ into his life that day. And I don't know who else was talking with other people or who else came to God, but I know that there's a lot of seeds planted that day. And so it was a really remarkable experience. And so, yeah, thank you.
I'd rather just hold the mic. So I just want to say thank you to all the kids that did come along on the trip. They were just an amazing group. We had a kind of a younger group, but they were just rose to the challenge of what we had to do and just really showed love to people and really bonded together as a group. And I really appreciate all of you guys so, so much, and really got to know you more. And so I appreciate that. As I was thinking about all the things that were talked about or whatever, there's so many things that we could share, but as Melody was talking, I was thinking it was interesting, our group going, so many people, even if they didn't know us, hadn't talked to us before, they knew we were Christians, like even before, even on the way back on the border, they would come to the vehicle and they were like, oh, you guys are Christians, right? And so I was thinking that's really an interesting thing, because wherever we go, and as Melody was saying, people know you know, sometimes even if we don't talk to them or whatever, just by the way you are. So really, it is good to have a good testimony as you're, you know, living your lives. I was just thinking about this verse, and I was going to just say it by memory, but I thought I better bring up the verse. So it's in Mark 2:17. It says, "When Jesus heard this, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick, I have come to call, I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners.'" And as I was this summer, usually I don't go to the doctor very often, except for to have babies, but two of my kids got a broken bone this year, and so I had a lot of visits to the doctor to make sure it was mended well. But I think with Mark, because his bone was completely not together or whatever, so they had to put him under and reset it, and they allowed me to stay there and to watch the whole thing, but his arm was so wobbly and stuff as they were doing this, and I could hear the creaking of the bones together, and my heart was just, you know, sad for him. But he said once, like, so he was in so much pain before, but as soon as the bone was lined up again after he came to, he said he didn't have any more pain in his arm. And so I was thinking how important it is to have a physician and Jesus as the physician. But we were going, you know, door to door, as lots of people had said. We came to this one lady's house, and, you know, I don't know if anybody had mentioned that or if we had pictures, but as we're going door to door, it's not like going door to door here. We could ring a doorbell here, but their property is actually gated off, and so you actually had to, like, stand outside the property and say, "Hola, ¿cómo está?" you know, and kind of, like, call to people so, you know, they could come or not. It couldn't just go to the door and knock and stuff, so we did get to meet a lot of people, but this one lady, she did come, and we were talking through kind of, it was like bars, right? So like a big gate. So she came out, and then maybe it's because we were English and she felt confident to share her story with us. But as we were, you know, inviting her to church, she just shared from her heart and the pain that she was in. And she had one son, and he had, you know, they lived in San Diego, and then they had come back to Mexico when he was about 7 years old. But he kind of was so bitter and blamed his mom for bringing him back to Mexico that as of seven, he just wanted to commit suicide his whole life. So he got into drugs and had a really hard life. But he's off in the drug world or whatever. But then he was so angry at his mom that he tried a couple times to, like with a gun or whatever, like to kill her or whatever. So she said she has this bullet kind of lodged right in her head, and they can't remove it because it's so close to her brain. So she was so broken and so hurt because it's her child that's, she can't really do anything about because he's so messed up and her life was so, like, hurt. But anyway, she was so thankful that we had come. And then, you know, through just talking with her and stuff, she said, you know, she's not good enough to come to Jesus. And it was... Sorry. Anyways, it was so beautiful because we were able to share to her that, you know, just like this verse says, it's not the well that Jesus came to save, it's the sick. So anyways, she wanted to become a Christian right there. So she prayed with us, and she became a Christian. And I know her pain isn't going to be taken away, you know, right now. Sorry, I was going to be nice and brave, so... So anyways, she became a Christian, and it was such a beautiful thing that she knew that God loved her right where she was, and that she didn't have to have a perfect life or a perfect family, that God would love her just where she is. And so we went there, and then we went back there again to bring her a Bible and a little kind of booklet that she could read through. And I just was thinking how important it is for us to talk to the people around us, because so many people feel like, even as we were sharing testimonies and talking to the ladies at the churches, so many people feel like they're not good enough to come to Jesus or come to church. And, you know, that's what this verse says. It's not the well. It's not the righteous. It's not the people here. It's the people that are really hurting that we need to love. And so I think it, even in this, you know, going to the hospitals or whatever, it's really important just to share that, give the opportunity for them to come. There was just another little girl just up from that street, too, and she, their little house didn't have a big gate. It was just like plywood and a little plywood door and stuff, and very primitive. And so anyways, we talked to their family, and the little girl just saw our faces, and she really, really wanted to come. And the mom, you know, wasn't sure, but anyways, she allowed her little girl to come, but she said, just wait for a moment. And she got her little girl to dress up in the her prettiest dress or whatever to come to church. But I thought, you know, that's another example. Like, we seem like we have to come perfect, but we can just come as we are to Jesus, and he takes us just as we are. Anyways, thank you again to the group, and I'll turn it over to Tim.
And there's all kinds of other stories that you can get talking to these people. And I mean, there were three who weren't here with us today either. And be sure to track them down and see what else that they have to share. I just want to tell you one other story here. And it's already 12 o'clock, so we won't take a long time. But as these guys were telling the stories to the children, they were talking about heroes of faith. And so they're talking, you know, doing the stories of like Elijah and Gideon and Noah and Ruth and these kind of stories, right? And just seeing that the stories of these people in the Bible, how they had faith in God and how we can do the same thing and put our faith in God in the same way. So I want to tell you about another man that I met. Excuse me. his name was Raphael, and he lived close to the Rosarito soccer pitch. And like John said, it wasn't very busy at the Rosarito soccer place. And so I went wandering around and seeing what I could find, or if I could find people or that kind of thing, right? And one day, Clemente was there with me. And so he took me down to meet this man. And right beside the soccer pitch, there was this really deep gorge, like about 15 or 20 feet deep. And I don't know, it was a couple hundred yards long, this big long. And so Clemente took me down into this gorge because he had met a man there just a few weeks earlier, like hair up to here and a beard down to here, this great big guy who was homeless and actually living in a hole in the side of the cliff. He had dug this, it was kind of rocky soil there, right? And so he managed to dig this place out and hung a curtain in front and had a little baby crib mattress that he would sleep on. And so this was home for Raphael. And so Clemente just kept going back, you know, two or three or four times kind of, and then this man became a Christian. And so the day that I was there, this was just, it was less than 2 weeks after that, but he had cut his hair and he was nice and, well, not clean shaven, but shaven anyways. And he spoke some English, you know, which was often the case where some people could. And he said, I might be poor. I don't remember exactly, but anyways, I might be poor, but I'm not a beggar. I'll work a day or two and get some money for food, and God will supply. And this was so intriguing. You know, here's this guy who's just become a Christian, and he has this great faith. But I wasn't thinking so much about Raphael. I was thinking more about Clemente himself. On the last day, and you might have seen that in the slides there, there were some pictures of a great big church. On the Sunday, just before we came back, we went to Calvary Chapel in Rosarito, which is a church that was formed in 2002. On the first day, I was talking to the father of the pastor. He said there was 6 Mexicans and 9 of us gringos. So they had 15 people, and now they have about 1,000 people who come to this church. So it's this great, great, huge church in Rosarito. And at the same time, Rosa and Clemente, they have these two little churches, one in Tijuana that has 60 or 70 people who come to it, and this little tiny one in Rosarito that has maybe about 15. And just keeps on working faithfully. not seeing the kind of results that CCR, the Calvary Chapel in Rosarito, has seen. But last night as I was thinking about that, I thought of five different people who came to me, like Spanish people, in these two churches and said, Clemente is a good man. Oh, there's 22. And so the longer I know Clemente, you know, which is, well, 10 years now since I first met him, he's becoming more and more one of my heroes of faith. Excuse me. In Matthew 25, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. Just two verses that I want to read. Matthew 25, and then reading it, verse 21. And it says there, and this is the story, the parable of the talents, when one man was given five talents, and another one two, and another one one. And you probably remember that, but anyways, just as after the master comes back and he's speaking to these people in verse 21, it says, read verse 20. It says, the man who had received the five talents brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And it's always intrigued me, you know, in that story when you read verse 21 and verse 23. One of these guys had five talents, like, or had earned or whatever, you know, had got five more talents. The other one got two. And yet the master said exactly the same thing to both of them. They had been faithful with what had been entrusted to them. And that's what God calls us as well. He calls us to be faithful to what has been entrusted to us. So Clemente has been faithful to what God has entrusted to us, and we have to ask ourselves that question as well here today. What has God given you, and are you being faithful with that? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do thank you for the opportunity that we had to go and minister to these people. And at the same time, I thank you for the ministry that they have done for us and for the effect that this short time that we had in Mexico has had on those of us who went. And so we just pray that as we go from here, and not just those of us who were there, but all of us, would remember that all of these little lessons that we've heard from these people today help us to be faithful, Father, with what you have given us. And you will honor that. So we thank you, and thank you for this time. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So before you go today here, we're not going to sing another song because we're almost out of time here, or we are out of time a while ago. If you weren't aware, but anyways, today is the last day that the Taberts are going to be with us because Andreas has taken on a position at a sister church of ours in the city. And so I'm going to ask the Tabert family to come up here and get the elders to come up here, and we're going to just pray a blessing over them as they go. So come on up here, everybody.
As I think of the Taberts, they've been here with us 10 years. That's hard to believe, isn't it? And as they move on in ministry, we ask your God's blessing upon you as you go to Capilano. I know that you will be greatly used there. And so let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, as we have heard from your word, Lord, that what you entrust to us, whether 5 talents or 2 talents, Lord, we have been called to share your good word with those around about us, Lord. And we ask your blessing upon the Taberts as they've grown up in this chapel and as they are going out. We think of Hannah and Nathaniel and Marissa. And Father, we ask your blessing upon each one. And so, Lord, we lift them up as a family, Lord. We thank you for the concept that you have brought to us, that we are part of a great family. And that family extends around the world. And we ask your blessing, Lord. And we pray as they minister your word that it might be in power through your spirit with great blessing. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have of just commending the Taberts to you for the work that they've, the ministry that they've got ahead of them. Thank you for the privilege of being to work alongside them for these last 10 years. We pray that you'll continue to go before them in their ministry. We pray for Hannah as she finishes off her studies out in BC. And as Nathaniel starts his university education in Camrose, and Marissa, as she finishes her junior, senior high here, Lord, we pray that you would be with them, protect them from the evil one. We ask for your special blessing on them as they go forth, and we thank you for the privilege we've had of being able to gather and see you, your hand in their lives as well as ours. So we commit them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, as we continue, we again thank you for bringing these folks here way back when, and we could see your hand in it even then. And so obviously knew what you were doing to bring them here, and we thank you for all that they have contributed to our lives here at the chapel over these last 10 years, and we look to you for your direction for us here as we move forward, but we do pray for these folks as they move to Capilano. And pray that you will continue to bless their work in all that they will be involved in there. And we know there's lots happening there. And so we just, again, lift them up to you and ask your blessing on them. We pray these things again in Christ's name. Amen.
Father in heaven, I think about the seeds that have been sown. Lord, each one in this family have built a network of friends and relationships here in this church family and in this community. And there's been seeds of laughter and joy, seeds of some pain and maybe even some challenge and difficulty. Certainly seeds of truth, seeds, Lord, of music and of, Lord God, just sharing their lives with us. And Lord, I just believe that you're going to continue to water those seeds that have been planted in all of our lives, even as they move on to new opportunities and new places to serve. But God, I do pray that Lord, you would give them the opportunity to quickly develop new relationships, new connections, new opportunities. But that, Lord, the relationships that have been established here are not going to end. And, Lord, we will welcome them back to come and fellowship and worship and share their lives with us. Because ultimately, Lord, we're going to all be together again around your throne forever. And that, Lord, this amazing network is going to make Facebook look pretty weak. And so, God, even though we're kind of saying goodbye in a sense, we're really just, Lord, just giving it some time. And, Lord, we're just grateful for that. So continue to guide and direct. And, Lord, even the relationships they built in the future are going to become our friends in a way. And as this family spreads out in many different directions in the years to come, that, Lord, we still have a part to play in. So bless the ongoing relationship we will share with them.
I would like to echo Ken's prayers, Lord. The friendships would not falter here, that we would all stay friends, we would all stay connected. Lord, I pray that we would all be in touch. And I pray a blessing on them, Lord, even in their ministry in Capilano. I thank you for the 10 years they've been here. It's been wonderful to get to know them. And I look forward to worldwide missions, Andreas, that a promise of returning to Kenya will not be forgotten. I'm talking to God. I hope you're listening. We thank you, Lord, for the gift that they've been to our church. And, Lord, help us to look forward with excitement here also as we look for someone down the road to be in ministry here. We thank you that you go ahead of us. Lord, we pray that we would be grateful followers. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This isn't the end of the story, of course, with Taberts. Unless they're house cells, they're going to be around a lot yet. So can we pray for God's blessing on that as well? Lord, part of this transition for them means, Lord, they're being able to move. And so, Lord, there are so many houses for sale here in Westlock right now. But we pray, God, in your timing and in your provision, you bring a buyer, Lord, for their home so that they can then, Lord, fully transition to Edmonton. But in the meantime, Lord, we just pray your blessing on the continual, Lord, relationship we will share and so on in these days and weeks ahead. So thank you for, Lord, even providing in that area. Amen. Just to let you know, we have a farewell gathering that's kind of in the works that we're going to work on, and it's actually going to happen later in the fall here. So even as we kind of say goodbye to them today, in a sense, we're not finished yet. And we'll be giving you more details as those come together, and we'll look forward to celebrating later in the fall here.
So thank you for being here with us this morning. Blessings as you go.